It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's I, your host, Joe Canelli. It's your daily sports dump. It is today, April 2nd, 2020. And let's get to the jokes. We got some other stuff too, but if we have jokes, we might as well get to them. So we will. The Dallas Cowboys, I don't know if you know this, folks, they announced that they signed Aldon Smith, a defensive end who's been out of the NFL since 2015. Now, he signed a one-year deal. Now, Smith said he signed with the Cowboys because he wants a fresh start, and also he wants to play for a team that's going to allow him to keep his Januaries open. Well, everybody's January might be open at this point. But Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said that he's confident he can help Smith get over his alcohol problem by introducing him to cocaine. Oh, dear. Well, it's worked in the past. More football, well, there's a football-baseball crossover news. Tom Brady is renting Derek Jeter's old house in Tampa. Brady toured the home before renting it, but his wife, supermodel Gisele Bündchen, she said she feels like she already knows it just from hearing all of her friends describe it so many times. You're going to want to get a deep clean on that house too, Tom. All right. Moving on to basketball. Top NBA draft prospect LaMelo Ball has purchased the Australian basketball team that he played for this past year. Now, after the news made its way around the league, Knicks owner James Dolan announced that he will be playing for the team that he owns when the season resumes. And he's also making the rest of the team join his blues band. If you don't know it, look it up, folks. James Dolan is a true... Well, we hope he recovers. Of course he will, because he's super rich. But after he recovers from the virus, we can resume making fun of him again. So if you're offended by this joke, just give it a few days. And the NBA is reportedly looking into slashing players' salaries as the corona-inspired lockout drags on. In a related story, there is a chance that all medical marijuana stocks are going to just tank after this happens. That's not true. They won't. NBA players have plenty of money for weed, and the prices are going down from what I hear from my friend who smokes. Okay. I think that's it, folks, of the jokes. But there's more, because it's the Daily Sports Dump, and it's not just jokes. It's mostly jokes. But what we have for you today, fake sports highlight. So if you're familiar with our new fake sports highlight segment, when a game is canceled, that doesn't mean the highlights have ended. Because the next day, we're going to look at some of the postponed games and give you what the highlights would have been. Today, it's back to baseball as the New York Mets and the Washington Nationals, the world champions, squared off in a pitcher's duel. Now, again, remember, the season is going on in this scenario, so Noah Snydergaard pitching against Max Scherzer. It was a pitcher's duel, both guys taking shutouts into the seventh inning, when Scherzer himself hit a home run off of Noah Snydergaard. Now, here's the bad news, folks. After the home run, Snydergaard exited the game with arm tightness, and a lot of observers think he's going to be getting imaginary Tommy John surgery, which, if you know the real timeline, means it's better that the season didn't happen because he's a week ahead on the surgery. But that's what would have happened if the game was played. Nats ended up winning 1-0. But that was the big news for Noah Snydergaard. Also, a little side note of the game. In the TV broadcast, Fred Wilpon was seen asking Ted Lerner for a cash loan in the owner's box. Of course, the Wilpons still trying to pay off some of that Madoff money, and the Lerners are very, very rich. I believe in the imaginary highlight, yep, Ted Lerner was seen handing Fred Wilpon several $100 bills. That probably won't do it, but you know, for those guys, it's like throwing a couple pennies at each other. That was your imaginary highlight, or your fake highlight, whichever you prefer. We'll settle on something down the line. Now, today in classic sports, What was the classic sports last night? Well, I recorded it. I didn't watch all of it. It was a 2005 World Series matchup between the Astros and the White Sox. Now, I remember that the White Sox won that World Series. Ozzie Guillen, the manager, very entertaining character, Ozzie Guillen was. A friend of mine, Brad Morris, had a little cottage industry of doing Ozzie Guillen impressions. He still does them to this day. And I would actually argue that his impression is more relevant than the actual guy today. That's weird when your impression transcends the person who you're doing the impersonation of. But that was the classic sports from last night, the White Sox-Astros World Series. Would you even call that a classic, though? I mean, we're only a few days into these classic sports things, and we're getting the Astros and White Sox? I mean, is that really? Yeah, I feel like there's like 10 Yankees-Dodgers World Series that you could put on that would be better than that. But maybe they're spacing it out, which might be a bad sign for how long this is all going to go. I do remember, in reference to that White Sox team, I went to opening day that season, and Mark Burley threw a shutout. I believe it was like 1-0, 2-0 or something like that. It was a complete game shutout, and I think it was like an hour and 57 minutes. And I've said this before, but Mark Burley, yes, he was left-handed. Yes, he was crafty. Yes, he had great control. He was not an overpowering pitcher, and yet he threw a perfect game, and he had a no-hitter. Did he win a Cy? I don't think he won a Cy, but he was up there. He was an all-star, and he pitched on a World Series team. And you know why? Pace. Mark Burley controlled the pace. He got the ball. He threw the ball. That's how he won. He controlled the game, and I don't understand why players don't look at some guy who has inferior stuff to them but is a superior pitcher, and they don't go, wow, what is he doing that I'm not? Well, he's just pitching fast. And he's keeping his fielders in it. That's all I can say. People are dumb. It's right there for you. Mark Burley, good for you. And once, when I got in a, this has been documented on this podcast, I've been in a few softball interactions, or altercations, I should say, over the years. And the last one I was in actually closed the league that I was playing in. The league shut down after that big brawl. But at the end of that brawl, when I had been jumped by the other team in trying to break up part of the fight. We'll get into it another time. But the point is, as I'm walking off the field, one of the guys on the other team had a White Sox hat on. And so I just kept yelling, Paul Konerko, overrated. Mark Burley, most overrated. And he was getting mad. And I didn't really mean that they were overrated. I said that was the worst World Series winning team in the last 100 years. That's not true either. But it was making the guy very mad. And I was glad at that moment that I had such complete sports history knowledge that I was able to discern what would aggravate that guy just based off of his hat, and it worked out. Doesn't say much for me, perhaps, but that's okay. Now, folks, even though we're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, today we are not going to be doing a mock draft update. However, I am going to try to figure out my mock draft in the next day or two. And again, I'm just going to do one. It's going to be all 7 rounds, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be the most beautiful draft you've ever seen. Okay, so look forward to that. And, I won't say and finally, but to wrap up, I've been listening to some podcasts as well. And I am, you know, influenced by people, and I will say there are two people who I listen to in the sports broadcasting world religiously. Tony Kornheiser, who's very elderly, but is much like myself, except has a lot more money, and Dan Le Batard, who I was introduced to off of Tony Kornheiser's show. I think he brought Le Batard to the world. And so I listen to, whenever Kornheiser puts out a podcast, I listen to it. And I listen to the Le Batard show, their best of podcast, every day. And that takes a chunk of time to do, but nowadays I do my walk with that or whatever. And there's a couple others I listen to. Sarah Spain, now I don't listen as religiously, but she pops around to so many different shows that you can catch her at a lot of places. And that actually, it strikes me as one of the reasons I like watching her, and one of the reasons she has so much work is that She is a woman, which brings a different perspective, and because there are so still few women in that realm of that sports world, she gets work all the time. Reminds me a little bit of the early days of improv when your average improv team was 7 white dudes and 1 white woman. And back at Second City days, their cast would be similar. And because that was just the demographics. And then, you know, it got closer and closer to parity, which we are almost at in that world, at least now. But sometimes with some people, what you would find is a little bit of, oh, wait, I used to get all the female parts, and now I'm splitting it up with people. Now, that's not to say overall it's not better now. It's much better to have it both ways like that. But one of the benefits of being one of the few or pioneers in the field, and I wouldn't say pioneer, but as sports media is expanding gender-wise, is that you get a lot of those early opportunities. But now she just needs to get like the big opportunity, and she has her own show and stuff. But now there need to be more people to fill in. For example, I would love to have people other than my wife doing stuff for the Sports Dump. But it's hard to find people who both enjoy sports and comedy and are a woman. But if you know those people, send them our way. We'll give them work. Is it work if you don't get paid? Again, that's an improv thing too. So anyway, I listened to her. I don't always listen to her show, but I listened more when it was in the car and I had the Sirius XM and could just turn on ESPN radio whenever. And like I said, she pops up on all of the shows. And I've talked to her about how Lebatard's show probably could use that element in a permanent spot on that show. I think that's the one thing they're missing. And otherwise, they'd be exactly like an improv team. But now they are even more man-heavy than an improv team would be, which is saying something. And also, I listened to David Sampson. And I listened to him because I heard him on Lebatard's show. And then I asked him to be on this show because he seemed like a pretty forthcoming person. He was pretty honest about successes and failures when in charge of the Marlins. So he came on the show. He's been on twice. I started downloading his podcast. So, of course, the day I start doing my daily podcasts, he starts, and also Mina Kimes starts within a week, all three of us, except hers is ESPN, his is CBS, and mine is Sherman Oaks, unsponsored. So they have more listeners, obviously, but he does a 45-minute show, and just basically, I suspect, writes down 12 things on a sheet of paper with a few little notes and then goes. I'm going to, especially in these times of no actual real content happening, going to be borrowing from that kind of template as I'm doing right now in talking to you and telling you who I am listening to in trying to shape this show. So I'm impressed that he's able to speak extemporaneously for 45 minutes. Although I will say the other day I did a Nebraska Cornhuskers football podcast on my own and was able to do 30 minutes on just that topic. That's, to me, that's even harder. But 45 minutes a day on a variety of topics, and now he's also incorporating movies and stuff. So he's turning his sports persona into a more cultural persona. And that's what we may be forced to do a little bit here, since there are no actual sports. But there's still the classic sports, there's still our mock sports, and there's still the fake canceled sports highlights. I'm getting some dry mouth early in the day for that. All right, folks, I think that's all we got for today. You can subscribe on iTunes. You're probably doing that, maybe Spotify. Also, please follow us on Twitter at SportsDumpShow on Twitter or the_sports_dump on Instagram. I got to get my shit together to schedule some of these Instagram lives or Twitter lives. Mike O'Brien from SNL is going to do one. Ike Barinholtz will do one. But you got to be following to get the alerts on those things. So please do that if you can. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Later. Bye. I just remembered I got to plug one other thing. I'm back. Just like that. It is April. It is the fourth month of the year in the 20th year of the century. That makes it 420 all month. I run another podcast called At the Doobies with Spliffgull and Ebert, but you can find that just at the Doobies, which is the at sign and then the word at the Doobies. I know. You can do that on Twitter, also on Instagram. Or you can follow that on iTunes for At the Doobies. Look that up on iTunes as a podcast. This month, every day, we're doing 420 tips, not every day. We're stretching it out across the month. That's 14 a day for 30 days. These are tips for the beginner or the expert. All right, that's it. Bye.